Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. Tonight is going to be part two of what I started 2 weeks ago on the vision of Blazing Fire Church. And we also talked about a new structure that we were beginning. And tonight I want to focus more on covenant relationship and on building the vision. Like, what does that actually look like? And how do you get involved if you want to be? But I got to tell you something, okay? This is not my favorite thing to talk about. It's not my favorite thing to preach. It's very important. But I want to tell you, if I had a choice, I'd come up here and tell you all over again how much your daddy loves you. So I'm telling you now. See, I can feel it already. Like, all of a sudden, the life's coming in me. I'm like, ooh, your daddy loves you. He really loves you. And Jesus took care of everything for you. That's what I would love to sit here and preach about. And I will. I'll preach on it most nights where we're here in some way, shape, or form, because I can't help myself. Because that is the good news of the gospel. Is really, you have a Father who's just wildly, passionately in love with you. And we're really just barely discovering how good it is. And in this church, that's what we've been doing. We've been, finally allowing ourselves to revel in the goodness of the truth, and not beating ourselves up and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I'll talk about on another night, a whole bunch. Promise, that's just what I talk about. So those of you who've been around a while know that. But this is really equally, it is important. It's really important because... We have been called by God to do something extraordinary. Extraordinary. That's where that word comes from. Extraordinary. He hasn't called us to do an ordinary thing. You've probably figured that out by now. But it's really important that I'm able to articulate that, especially because more and more people are coming in. They're sticking their heads into the party and saying, hey, what are you guys doing? What are you about? And actually, for the things that God's called us to do, it's huge. And so when what we're doing now is we are setting the stage for tremendous kingdom growth that He told us is coming. And I don't just mean numerical growth. I'm talking about, you know, what's happening in the kingdom of God. These miracles that we're talking about that are going to happen with greater and greater frequency. We're just alive at an amazing time in history. We really, really are. So this first thing I'm going to do is give a really quick recap of last week, 2 weeks ago, just in case you weren't here. Also, though, if you were not here, we do have CDs on the table as you walked in that are free of the sermon from 2 weeks ago, of the vision, so that if you're just catching part two and you didn't catch part one, I strongly encourage you to get that if you need it. You may not need it because we also have it on our podcast. So if you go to our website, www.blazingfire.org, it's right there on the homepage, right at the top of the page. It says podcast. So you just click on that, and then you can see all of our sermons for the last several months. And you can listen. You do not have to have an iPod to listen. I don't know how many of you know all these things, but I'm that generation where you have to say these things because we don't all know it. But so you don't have to have an iPod just to listen to it. You don't have to transfer it to something. You can just listen to it on your computer by clicking on it. Of course, you have to sit there at your computer to listen. So, but anyway, it's all there, including in the CDs are back there in case you missed it. But here we go. This is that quick recap. This is our new vision statement, that we are passionate lovers of God. There you go. We could stop right there. We're passionate lovers of God. Who are joyfully experiencing His goodness. I explained this is really a lot of what we're doing together, just learning the goodness and experiencing the joy of the Father. And then we are also fueling grace-based regional transformation as a kingdom-equipping resource center. Now, once again, on the CD or on the message, I pulled all of this apart and gave scriptures and explained it all, so I'm not going to explain it again right now. And we are sending people to change the world. So I'm going to read it all again. We are passionate lovers of God who are joyfully experiencing His goodness, fueling grace-based regional transformation as a kingdom equipping resource center, and we are sending people to change the world. All right. Here's something I forgot to mention last time. I talked about different words and promises that we've received from God. This is one that I've gotten several times from the Lord, and I just kind of forgot about it last time, so I got another chance to sneak it in. And this is what it says, Psalm 107. He has turned desert into stretches of water. That should say arid ground into bubbling springs, and has given the hungry a home where they have built themselves a city. That's a word God's given to me about what this church is to be on many occasions. So I just wanted to share that with you. Remember last week or 2 weeks ago, I also talked about us being an airport hub. And I just wanted to look at this a little bit deeper to say, as you're looking at an airport hub, we talked about that this is going to be a place where a lot of people are going to be coming and going all the time, where we're going to be building into them, and then they're going to be flying off. But what I really didn't explain too much is that there are going to be some of us who work in that airport hub, where that's what we're doing. We're waiting. We know the planes are coming in. We know they're going to be taking off. But somebody, if nobody was working in that hub, that'd be a problem. And so there are going to be ones of us who are called to fuel them up and send them back out with encouragement and hope and all the rest. But we understand that not everybody's called to do that. So it's okay that we have a place where people just feel the freedom to come and land whenever they need to get a fresh touch from the Lord, to get re-encouraged, reinvigorated, and then they're off and gone again. We do have people who consider Blazing Fire their home, even though they live in another part of the world, and they may only get here twice a year, but they say, but man, when I'm there, it's home, it's where I belong. And so even though I can only come twice a year, it's still my home. So I just wanted to explain that one again. Here's another analogy. Our name is Blazing Fire, which, by the way, comes from Book of Revelation and many other places, where Jesus is coming back for His bride with eyes of blazing fire. So it's all about the passion of the Lord. It's His passionate gaze for His bride. But I wanted to use this analogy. This is a big bonfire, to say this is actually a great picture of blazing fire, because what happens is a bunch of people get together in a lot of different ways, and they're just burning on fire for God. And what happens is people start coming around. You know what happens on a fire? People start coming around, even though they should be clearing out of the way. They're coming around because they're interested. They're like, what is that? You know, who are you guys? But I wanted to tell you, so if you look at our church as this bonfire, some of you are going to be called to stoke the flames. You're going to be called to throw in another log, you know, to be part of what makes this fire just keep raging and raging and raging more and more and more. However, you don't have to be stoking the flames or throwing in a log to be able to come and enjoy it. Anybody can do that. And they can come and enjoy the heat. They can come and enjoy the show, the pyrotechnics, you know. The Lord Himself, the glory of God. So that's just another analogy, kind of like the airport hub. There are going to be some who are called to build it, and others who are just going to come and enjoy it, and it's totally okay. This is the new structure that I explained. It's four different areas. First is this love and grace based Blazing Fire family. The second one is this Kingdom Equipping Resource Center. The third is this regional and world impact. And then lastly, the administrating the vision. Otherwise, it ain't going to happen, because we need people who are passionate about that as well. And last time I gave a lot of examples of what's under each of these areas. I wanted to mention a few more, because I'm aware of a few others who are involved who I didn't mention last time. So I just want to do that this time. So I mentioned last time under the family, I mentioned things like worship with Carla and children with Donna. And I'm not going to remember them all, because I didn't write them down in front of me. But I wanted to add a few more. Under this area as well, we're going to have prophetic intercession. And that's going to be led by Kelly Roche. And Kelly is here somewhere. Oh, that's just stand if you would. I won't make you come up, but just stand. That's Kelly. Awesome. She's often up here with us on the stage. And so what I've asked her to do is to begin to, we desperately need, we have to have prophetic intercession. And the reason why I use that word prophetic is because prophetic intercession to me means people who are really listening to the heart of God and declaring it. So there's a lot of different ways to pray. You can pray down lists. You can do all kinds of things. But we're talking about a group of people who are gathered to hear the heartbeat of God and listen to what he's saying and to declare that as a reality. That's, to me, prophetic intercession. Also, under that love and grace-based Blazing Fire family, we've asked Archie and Tammy Roberts. They're going to oversee the hospitality. And are they here tonight, Archie and Tammy? Oh, half of you. There's Archie. It's Tammy back there. Oh, okay. Okay. So, because here's the thing. They're going to be just overseeing a team of people. We need, what's happening as we grow and grow and grow, we're just not that little tiny family that was in a home or that was in Good News Family Fellowship, if you're with us then. We're a lot bigger. The thing is, though, when people come, they really don't know what's going on. They kind of have to figure it out. And some of you who are new know exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, well, you just kind of figure it out after a while. Oh, I guess the nursery's back there. Oh, so we as we're getting bigger, we're going to have to have a lot better way of inviting people and to be part of what's going on so that they can enjoy. So that's a few more that are under the Love and Grace based family. Under the Kingdom Equipping Resource Center, I wanted to just highlight, last time I mentioned Bill, but he wasn't here. So Bill, would you stand? Bill Hernandez, who came up earlier. Awesome Bill, who is going to oversee our raising up of the prophetic teams, as he's already been wonderfully doing for the last several years. He just has a tremendous gift. In fact, he just finished his prophetic class at Kingdom Training School. And a lot of those people that went through that class are going to be providing the prophecy next week. A lot of what we're doing here is we are getting people involved. We really don't want you just sitting. This isn't a show, you know. You're here to take in from the Lord and then to give it away. Now, some of you will be giving it away right here. That's what I keep saying. For some of you, it's right here in this place because there are others who are going to come through and they need the encouragement. But for others of you, for a lot of you, it's not going to be primarily here. You're going to be out there in the marketplace, in the business, in the schools, in the government, wherever you are, making a difference. And we're here to encourage you and be your cheerleaders and say, go for it. And that third area that I just mentioned about going out and going for it, that's right here, the regional and world impact to transform the Bay Area and ultimately to change the world. So we have a unique church where people are coming from all over the Bay, much more so than in many churches. And so rather than tell you, well, you need to have an impact right here in Pleasanton, we're saying, you know what? You need to have an impact where you live and where you work. So we're trying to equip you to go out there and go for it. And some of you, again, it's going to be right where you work or go to school. Others of you, like a lot of the people who have started the outreaches in this church, God just gave them a passion for something and a heart for someone to help the poor or the oppressed. And God gave them a certain area, Oakland or San Francisco or wherever else, and they just went out there and started going for it. So if that's in your heart, we want to equip you to do that. Marcus and Leona Mendiola, there's Leona. Go ahead and stand up. This is Leona and Marcus, and we've asked them to oversee the outreaches that are going on. So they're not only going to oversee those who are already doing the outreaches, basically just there to encourage them and any way we can help them, but also to provide a way for those of you who have that kind of passion. How can I go out and do that? We want to make a connection for you to take those passions and do something with them out there in the outreaches. So, and then back in administration, there's nothing yet, right, Suzanne? I mean, there's lots, but I'm saying there's no one to announce right now, right? Okay. she is talking with a few people, but we have people, each one of these teams, we are building up these teams of leaders so that it's not just for you in this room. You understand that, right? It's for multitudes who are still coming. And so it's that whole thing. I can't remember the movie, but you know, if you build it, they will come. The Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. And that is actually extremely biblical. And I've up at Bethel, they preach a sermon about how Pentecost didn't happen until they replaced the last disciple. And that there is just something about God's, He is a God of order, even in the midst of the freedom and the wonderful freedom of the Spirit. There's reasons why God does what He does. And and the last thing, the senior management team I mentioned is the leaders. Each one of these people down here are the ones leading these areas. And all of them together, along with our elder team, make up the senior management team. And last time, Dan Knight couldn't be here. So Dan, would you stand, Elder Dan? And I just wanted to honor you, Dan. And Dan and Carla have been just giving us really great counsel and wisdom and friendship over the last 6+ years. Well, for this church and then prior to that. So we've known them for probably more like 10 years. So thank you. So all of us are kind of moving into new roles. It's new territory for all of us. We're not exactly sure what all this is going to look like as it plays out. But we're excited about it because we know it's God's heart. So here's what I want to talk about for a little bit. Covenant relationship and then talking about actually building the vision. So first I want to define it. The reason why I'm starting with covenant relationship is because this is like a huge part of this church is this whole idea of covenant relationship. It's something that God has done first with us. And so actually, I do get to talk about the heart of the Father right here. Yes. Jeremiah 32. Because we wouldn't know. Actually, let me start with a definition. Covenant relationship, the way I like to define it is I'm in this relationship for your best, and you're in it for my best. That's a covenant relationship. It's the way marriages are supposed to be. It's the way God is with us, and then He gives us His ability to have these relationships with other people. But it has to start with God. It has to start, otherwise we wouldn't have any idea what that is. And so just Jeremiah 32, verses 40 and 41, this is in the New Jerusalem Bible, he says, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with them. And you know what? He is just giddy about this. This is his daddy's joy. He's like, you don't know what I got waiting for you. It's so good. I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you, never to cease in my efforts for your welfare. Never to cease in my effort for your welfare. He is constantly for you, always for you. I don't care what it looks like to you at times. And there are times when all of us, we have those moments where it's hard for us to believe it. It's called doubt, you know? And where we say, God, do you really care? Because it doesn't look like it right now. And you know what? He is, oh my goodness, he is so much kinder than we know. And He is working all things for our good. So He's never ceasing in His efforts for our welfare. And skipping to verse 41, my joy will lie in them, in you. You are His joy, and in doing them good. So do you know what makes God really, really happy? You. Let me just tell you that again. You know what makes God really, really, really happy? It's you. My joy lies in you, and in doing you good. That's what makes Him really happy, is to do good things for you. So that is covenant love. We see it in Ephesians, in Jesus, how He treats us. This was when Paul was talking about marriage, and he says, you know, it's a mystery, this oneness in marriage. He goes, but let me tell you what I do know about. I know about Jesus in the church. That's what he says. And so then he says in chapter 5, I love this. This is in the Message Bible. He says about Jesus to us, his words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. His words evoke her beauty. This is covenant love. I'm going to speak my words over you until you believe it, because I am for you. I'm wild about you. I'm in love with you. And you know that when we say yes to Jesus, we become one with him, right? That's very scriptural. We're one with him when we say yes to him. It's marriage. We're married to him, even though we haven't seen it fulfilled completely yet. So it makes sense that if we're one with him, he would never, ever tear us down, because then he'd be going down with us. And that isn't where we're going. We're going up with him. So he builds into us, builds us up, loves on us. So that's where we see a covenant relationship is from God. Acts 2 and 3 is, of course, the church living it out, just helping each other, loving each other in radical ways. I won't read all that, but that you can read it later. So let me just go on to say now, didn't mean for that all come up at once, but it's going to. The difference between covenant relationships and church membership, the way that we have known it in the past. When we're talking about covenant relationships, especially if you've had past experiences that aren't good in the church, you might get something in you like, ooh, I don't like this. This sounds too much like something I didn't like. So I want to just tell you these things. It's not a club where you have to jump through the right hoops to be accepted. But covenant relationship is an invitation to belong and to be part of something bigger than yourself. You know what? Here's the thing about covenant relationship. You're already in. You know, you're in. People come to me and say, you know, Brent, I love this church. I want to be part of this. What do I have to do? You know, because we don't have church membership. So people have come and said, what do I have to do? I say, well, thanks for letting me know. You're in. You're in. You don't have to prove yourself to us. Another one is covenant relationships are not controlling and manipulative. They're not going to be used as leverage against you to do what we want you to do. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you maybe don't. But in other situations, you've encountered that. We're not going to use it as leverage against you to make you do something. But instead, it's about empowering. What can we see in you, and how can we empower you to be who God has called you to be? Another difference, we're not telling you what to do, but we're providing wise counsel when you need it, because we want you to be wildly successful. That's the point. You know, anyone who has children, you know that you want your kids to be successful. You long for that. You're like, oh, what can I do? And then when they're having problems and stumbling a little bit and trying to find themselves, man, as a parent, you're praying for them, and God, oh God, help them, because you want them to succeed. And that's a covenant relationship, is wanting the other to succeed. It's not fear-based to keep you in your place. In other words, below. It's grace-based and redemptive to elevate you to your place in Christ. So we're saying that we want to see the treasures. We choose to see the treasures to elevate you. We're not trying to keep someone down. Another one is, it looks for the best. It looks for the best, and it doesn't desire to expose the worst. So let me just ask this question, though, just because this is a good time to talk about it. Is there then any place for correction? And I would say absolutely. Absolutely. Let me just first give you an example, okay? If someone were in this church, because there's a lot of freedom here. So if someone were to, let's say, prophesy over someone else. They were to say, hey, I got a word for God, from God for you. And then they begin to kind of just, you know, bowl this person over with doom and gloom and, you know, you're blown it and God thinks this and that, you know. Now, that's not our culture at all. That's not God's heart. If we're in covenant relationship, and if I or others around you want to see you be wildly successful, want to see you do all the things that God has for your life, then if we love you enough, we're going to say things to you. You know what? That's not God's heart. And then we give instruction. This is really God's heart. This is what we do instead. That's covenant relationship. If we don't have relationship, if someone comes in and I don't have relationship with them and they don't want relationship with me, they just want to come in and do what they want to do, well, then all that's left is for me to say, please don't. Please stop. But see, that's not God's heart. That's not covenant relationship. We're left to do that if we don't have relationship, if they don't want it, if they don't want counsel or us to help them. But that's not God's heart. God's heart is how can we help everybody to grow up in all things perfectly in love. That's in Ephesians 4. That's God's heart. So though we accept people where they are, and that's grace, that's all about grace, not judging people. Absolutely, we accept them. But that doesn't mean we don't challenge people to walk in the truth of who they are. Okay? So we accept people, we love them, we do not judge them. We don't scold them, we don't whip them when they're down. But we do provide God's heart to say, hey, you know what? You're way too awesome for that. Let me tell you what Christ has done for you. Let's look at who you really are in Christ. See, a totally different way of doing things. So yeah, there is a place. There has to be a place for a correction. And here's another thing too. In wanting to help you succeed, it does mean at times that we're going to look at some of your past hurts that are still holding you down, maybe some of the lies that you're still believing. That's called character development. See, God gives us this big vision, right? He gives us something that's way too big for us to do. He does that on purpose. Okay, He doesn't want to give us little itty-bitty visions that we can do on ourselves, then we don't need Him. He wants to give us this big vision. And then, so He gives us something to hang on to, right? And then He says, all right, now that you got some hope and something to hang on to, now I'm going to start dealing with some of that character. Because there's some deep pains there. There's some things that make you put up walls. There's, you know, things that make you get hurt really quick, offended really quick. Let's deal with those things. And we want to provide as much as possible a safe atmosphere for that to happen. And one of the things in that structure earlier about the family is we're developing more and more of the inner healing of Sozo and other healing ministries for you to get healed up so that you can get out there and go for it. It doesn't mean God can't use you in the meantime. He absolutely. Otherwise, none of us would ever be used ever, right? But as far as some of the big dreams He's given you, there are certain things He's working on. And sometimes it takes years. It just does. But that's okay because He hasn't forgotten His promises. He's not slow to keep His promises. He will do what He said He will do in you. He will. So here's the crux of it right here. In a covenant relationship, there has to be trust in the person you're relating to that they really do have your best interests at heart. So as a pastor, what I've learned is I don't come right in and try to change people. I don't come right in and, you know, start trying to say you need to do this or change that. What I do is I do choose to see the treasures. I choose to love them. And then at certain times, the Holy Spirit will give me opportunities and say, this is your time. I'll say certain things that are challenging to somebody. Always with the intent, always in, you know, I believe, my desire, let me put it that way, my desire is that it's always done in love and in grace, not in anger or anything else, but just love and in grace, telling somebody something that they need to hear. But as long as I've poured in the love, as long as that person knows that I truly care about them, then they'll receive it. Then they'll understand, oh, I'm not trying to knock them down. It's just something that they need to ask the Lord to take part in healing. So I wanted to say that because sometimes when you're talking about covenant relationships, it can be misconstrued as, well, you guys said that all you're going to do is say great things about me and let me do whatever I want to do. And I'm saying, no, that it doesn't really work that way. But our heart is to release you into your destinies. Our heart is to have you go for it. And again, those of you who have been around a while, you know, you've experienced it. You know that's really bottom line is our heart. But God wants you to do it. Here's the reason why the character development, because he wants you to do what he's called you to do in a way that's going to make people see Jesus. You are his ambassadors. That means when they see you, they see Jesus. So obviously the bigger, the more exposure he gives you, the more favor, the bigger spheres of influence that he gives you, he's going to make sure that you're more and more a representative of what Christ looks like, Christ through you, and getting rid of the old stuff that the stuff that, you know, sometimes kind of masks that Christ in you. He's like, we gotta remove that so that the light shines bright through you. So that's what he's doing, okay? And he's going to, whatever it is that he wants you to do, he will give you more and more opportunities. Sometimes we don't see it. We don't connect the dots until later. We look back and we go, oh, that's what you were doing. Sometimes we think, well, I'm supposed to be over here doing this. And instead, he has you doing this right now. And you're going, I don't get it. That doesn't seem like what I'm supposed to be doing. But he has you doing this and this and this and this. And the next thing you know, you're where he said you would be. And you're like, wow, God, I would have never done it that way. But you're right. You did it. And I will tell you that this church right here is, for me, that dream. It's the very dreams he put in my heart that I'm actually living out now. But I'm telling you what, along the way, there were many times, many years, where it did not look like that at all. So I want to encourage you, trust him, trust the Lord. And then I do want to encourage you, find people you can trust who have your best interests at heart to help you get there. We need that. We can't be doing this on our own. It just doesn't work that way. All right? Let me tell you one more thing before I move on to building the vision and talking about what this looks like. When we're talking about covenant relationship, again, we're talking about an environment of grace, nurturing that acceptance, you're loved, helping you see the treasures, helping you when you need to see some things about yourself that God wants to heal. But let me tell you what it doesn't look like. Some people might have an idea that, okay, if I'm in covenant relationship with you, I get to have dinner and hang out with you for a movie every night, you know? And that if that doesn't happen, then it's not covenant relationship. Suzanne and I are just two people. And as this church grows and grows, some of you have been here when there was 20 of us. And you know it's already very different than that. Some of you were here when there's 50 of us, and you know it's different. You know, there's probably about 200 here tonight. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying this about numbers right now. I'm just telling you that dynamics change. The kingdom is supposed to expand. Growth is normal in the kingdom when something's healthy. But it's going to continually look different. And so Suzanne and I have invested. That's why we chose, first of all, we had our elders, and then we chose core leaders, about 10 core leaders, to pour our lives into this last year. And they're the ones up on that chart you saw earlier who are going to oversee a bunch of these ministries. We've poured ourselves into them. They're going to turn around and pour themselves. So it isn't so much about one person that you get to spend a lot of time with. It's about a group of people who together are getting this new wine, this new way of God doing things that is supportive and building up. And that's why we're going to have different leaders who some of them you will be able to get closer to. But again, as this grows, there's going to be more leaders under them. It's going to happen. So I just needed to say that because there's a lot of different expectations. What I can do is the same thing that Mother Teresa says, the same thing Heidi Baker says, who ministers to, you know, tens of thousands. Mother Teresa the same way in Calcutta. They're like, how do you do it? And they say, you know what? I love the one that I'm with. That we can do. When I'm talking with you, when I'm praying with you, I can love you. Absolutely. And I feel that love. It's genuine. I feel that love. when I'm talking with you. But that's true for all of us. We're supposed to impact tons of people. We're supposed to impact a lot of people. But you know, in this world where relationships are so hard and we're all feeling like, gosh, I'm not even, you know, I can't even keep up these relationships I have. How am I supposed to add more? It's not about having to have, you do need some, you know, a few deep relationships. I agree. But you can impact people everywhere you go. But just by looking in their eyes with the love of Jesus, just by giving them a word of encouragement, you can do it, you know, to the teller, you know, the checkout at the supermarket, at the bank. It doesn't take much to just love that person right when you're with them. And I will tell you, they will notice it. They will absolutely notice it. You have that to give away everywhere you go. All right. Now, building the vision of this house. And I would just say again, if you didn't catch it 2 weeks ago, please listen to it, because I'm just assuming you know what I'm talking about the vision that I explained in great detail last time. I already said this, but God is big, and His dreams for us are huge. They're supposed to be. So if you've had dreams of making a difference in a nation, if you've thought about starting an orphanage somewhere, if you've thought about saving your whole office, or you know, turning your whole school around for Christ, that's the Lord. That's Him. He gives us, I'm not saying you have to have a dream like that, because bigness can come in a lot of different ways. It could be an amazing invention that's going to change the face of the earth. It could be, I don't know, it could be music that just does something to people and is part of turning this whole world, this whole generation back to Jesus. It can come in a, so the danger of giving you ideas is some of you might think, oh, well, gosh, I don't have ideas like that, so I must not be hearing from God. I guarantee you, he's telling you things. He's showing you things about who you are. But the more you see God, the more you really get to know this big God. I'm telling you, if they aren't already, you will start to get some big dreams. That's him. Sometimes we don't want to dream big because we don't want to be disappointed. We have a fear of being disappointed. So if I can just have these little piddly dreams that don't mean anything, that way I'll succeed. I won't fail. The problem is that God wants to give you dreams where you have to have Him. And you know what? Failure, the way we look at failure, is okay. God doesn't see it as failure, but you understand, like even the disciples, when they were stepping out, they made all kinds of mistakes. They did. And it wasn't just Peter, you know? All of them. And they were, you know, God, you know, that one time when they say, you know, pour down the fire on them, kill them all, God, you know, Jesus, He's like, ugh, you guys don't understand my heart yet. Okay. But it's okay. At least they were zealous. You see, you can take someone who has passion and mold that. It's hard, though, for somebody who just doesn't really want to do anything. It's like, no, you need the passion. Go ahead and get some passion, and we'll start to mold that. Bob Johnson, Bill Johnson's brother, he's coming here on May 31st. He oversees City Ministries, which is this amazing outreach on every other Friday night in San Francisco, going out to the poor, out on the streets, giving them food, giving them prophetic words, all that kind of stuff. He spoke over me at a meeting, I don't know, about a year ago. And he's starting to pray, and he stops and he goes, whoa. He goes, whoa, your visions are big. He said, we're not talking about just needing millions. You need billions. This isn't just about building a church. This is about city blocks and about stores and... now, what he didn't know is that just recently our leadership team had done this whole dreaming exercise things, and that's exactly what it was. Here's the thing. When you get around a group of passionate people whose spirits are open to the Lord, you're going to get some huge dreams coming out, because that's God, because they haven't been capped. You know, when you start getting freedom in the Lord, all of a sudden the caps are taken off, like, oh, I have permission to think this way? Oh, yeah, sure you do. So we've got huge, huge dreams. Let me just say this. We are going to have land and buildings. This church will. I know it's true. And we've prayed for that. And we've gone to certain sites of land, and we've done some crazy prophetic acts, and we know God hasn't forgotten all that. And I'm just telling you that because we've also been really careful to say we want to go after the Lord, and we don't want to get hindered by some of the things that kind of sidetrack churches. And so we haven't made a building a number one goal, obviously. You know, been around 6 years, and as I say, we're one of those churches that dares you to find us, you know, because we keep moving around. And you just gotta, you better be here a few weeks before we move, because all of a sudden we're gone. So clearly, you know, securing a building hasn't been, you know, numero uno on our list. However, with the dreams God's given us, and already this expansion, what we want to do next year with the kingdom training, I can't even tell you all the things. We don't even have space for all the things we want to do now. And we're actually knocking on about three different churches' doors that we use occasionally. You know, this church, Church on the Hill, other ones. And we still need more. And there's more and more coming. So I'm just telling you now, I'm telling you, get ready. And I'm telling you prophetically, we will have land, we will have buildings. I'm also telling you this, we actually do have a building fund. So most of you don't know that because we never, ever mention it. But we do, because some of you, visionaries out there have already said, you guys are going to have a building, I'm putting money into that. There's one right there. There's several others that have. And they said, I'm putting money into that. And they were the ones, and we appreciate it, because they were the ones planting the seeds, saying, we believe. That's what faith is. We believe before we see it. So we do have that. And we, as a church, we support a lot of missionary organizations, a lot of amazing ministries. We also support a lot of people in this room as much as we can. And we want to do more and more and more of that, because it's great to support mission agencies. And we're going to keep doing that, I'm sure. But more and more, we want you to be the ones going, you know, and doing these things. So I'm telling you this because these are big dreams, and this requires resources. It requires people who have the heart and passion with us. It requires people who are saying, I'm going to give to that because it's God. And that's another thing we hardly ever talk about here is money. And I want to, on another night, not tonight, I want to talk about a kingdom view of finances. Because I think I've taught about it in our kingdom training class, but as far as a Saturday night, it's just something we hardly ever talk about. We have the buckets out here. If you want to give, we mention it occasionally. When we have guest speakers, we send a plate around. But I'm just telling you now, we have huge dreams, and those who God is calling us to help build, that's part of it, is saying, hey, we want to support you financially to go for it. And I'm telling you, this is that covenant relationship thing. What you pour in is poured back. That's just the Lord's heart. That's just His heart. He says, oh, you're pouring in, you're going to be poured back into. So, let's see. There we go. This is just I'm not even going to say anything about this except that it's true. We have a need to belong and to be part of something bigger than ourselves. So, it's just really important for you to know where that is. You know, where's the tribe? Where's the DNA that you say, wow, this is who I am? Because of where God's taking us, we need to know who is building with us. This is kind of a course. I wouldn't even call it a course correction, but where we're just starting to take a slightly different bend in the road, because for years, and with the elder team, we've been very careful to say we do not want church membership, because we've seen all the trappings with that. But we're getting to a point where, because God is so pouring into this, and I'm telling you what, this is about being responsible. He is giving us, you're sitting in this room, He is giving us world-class leaders. I'm amazed when I look around. I go, whoa, the number of people assembled in one place who have the kind of gifts and passion that it's just astounding. And so we are actually being responsible with that and saying, okay, let's take this to the next level, because they're going to be pouring out. More and more people are coming because of what He's already told us. So we do need to know who's building with us. And it won't necessarily be everyone who comes through the doors. It's not going to be necessarily everyone who's sitting here. And that is so okay. We have said from the beginning, we're a place people can come and get a drink anytime they want to. But we do need to know who is building with us. I want to talk about submission, okay? Submission is where that word comes from. So there's a mission that somebody has, and others come along and say, I see God on you. You've got something that totally resonates with who I am and where I'm going. And so I want to help you. I want to be part of this. So I'm going to submit. I'm going to put my mission under yours to help you get where you're going. The amazing thing is God flips that around and blesses you for doing that. It's like the more you lay down, the more he gives back. So I've actually, the several of our key leaders could easily have their own ministries, you know, in their own right, easily. And they've come and said, we have got to be part of what you're doing. We are laying it down. We're serving you. Whatever you want, that's what we'll do. And our only response, I mean, Suzanne and I are so humbled by that. Wow. And our only response is, wow, thank you. And we will do everything we can to make sure that your vision is fulfilled. So that's what submission is. And of course, we are all submitted to the Lord. It's his mission, right? Ultimately, it's his mission. We're what we're here for. And we all say, cool, I get to be part of this. I want to be part of this. And I'm going to submit myself to you, to that vision, to that mission. This Georgian Banoff's assistant, Dennis, said something just a couple days ago that kind of caught Suzanne and I. He said that kind of encapsulates what I just said. He said, he was talking about Georgian, and he said, I don't want to work for someone. I want to help fulfill the destiny and dreams of a man with a heart of gold. And when we heard that, we went, wow, that's so cool. And God, he just so honors that. So the reality is all of us are going to spend our life on something. We do all the time. So what's it going to be? This is where the Lord said at one point, Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. Didn't mean that you can't have money. He's just saying you got to decide what it is you want in life and what you're going after and what your life is going to consist of, what you're going to pour into. And so all I can say again is we're all going to pour out our life on something. So I'm pouring it out for Jesus. You know, I can't think of anything else. There isn't anything else to pour it out on, really. And there are going to be certain places for you. There are going to be certain times where God connects you somewhere and you go, this is it. I want to pour out on this. It's all about Jesus, but I want to pour out on this. So just all I'm saying is, this is really what I'm saying here, is just know that this is true so that you can be conscious of it and say, okay, God, where am I supposed to pour out then? Since I'm going to pour it out somewhere, where do you want me to pour it out? What am I supposed to be doing? And a word about inheritance. I learned this really well from our friends at Bethel Church in Reading. Inheritance, if you think about inheritance, it's when you get some windfall, you receive something, and you didn't do anything to earn it. It was just a gift. Usually we know it as somebody dying, and they're passing on their inheritance. Well, guess what? Same thing for the kingdom, only person doesn't have to die. Isn't that great? Inheritance is, when we started this church, we planted ourselves. We submitted ourselves under Bethel. We said, we see, I found a father in the spirit who had my DNA, only he was further down the road, and we submitted ourselves. And what we got in return is we got his inheritance. We got what he worked for free. His life experiences, the things that got him where he is, and we got it for free. I'm not saying we don't all still have to learn our own lessons. We do at times. I understand that. But you know, if you've listened to someone like Bill Johnson, when they, with the wisdom, with what they've learned, you just, it's like you get this, you glean it, you get it for, you just gets put right into your veins. You know, they just put the IV in and all of a sudden it just goes right into you and you're like, oh, I get it. Well, you know what? Somebody spent a lot of time with the Lord for that breakthrough that you just got like that, you know? So there is inheritance involved. So the question, another question is, you know, whose inheritance do you want? being sent gives you a totally different authority in the Spirit. We all have dreams. A lot of us want to go places. We want to go do things. I'm telling you, there is a power in being sent. And again, with Blazing Fire, when we put ourselves under Bethel, and then they sent us with blessing, something shifted. Something was different in the Spirit. And so when you, let me just say this a different way. Sometimes I have people who want to come here and speak, and I don't know who they are, and no one is recommending them. They're just saying, I want to come. And that's good, and I bless them, and I try to be as grace-filled as I can, and I say, I bless you, and thank God for what you're doing. But because I don't know who they are, I'm not going to have them come. However, it would be totally different if Bethel or someone else who I'm in relationship says, we got someone who is totally your DNA, you guys would love it, they would totally bless you. Oh, then sure, bring them on. There's something different about being sent. And so I just want to encourage that, because sometimes if you get frustrated, and you're like, when is this going to happen? This thing that God said I'm going to be doing. Sometimes people get frustrated and they say, forget it. I've been hurt too much. I'm just going to go do it myself. I don't need anybody's help. Well, it really is only a matter of time before there's a crash and burn in effect. And that's actually the Lord's grace. Only because we have to have that support. We have to have those covenant relationships around us. And there is an authority that comes when you're sent places. So I'm just telling you, I know this is kind of a little bit hodgepodge. I'm telling you some things that I think are really important as we're talking about building a vision. Here's a question. Can you build and support more than one vision? Many of you are here from, you double and triple and quadruple dip, you know? You're in several different churches. So the question might be, can I serve more than one vision? My answer is absolutely you can. We do it all the time. Now, most churches won't tell you that. But you need to decide what can I do? You know, sometimes we get pretty thin in a lot of places. And so just ask the Lord. Sometimes there's this crossover period. You're doing a couple things for a while, and then you're over here for a while. But I will also say this. You don't have to be a builder of the vision of this house in order to enjoy it. We do that all the time, too. Every time you walk into Safeway, and your needs are met, that's because somebody had a vision and others are carrying it out, and you get to enjoy the benefits of it, even if you don't know their mission or their vision. UPS. Disneyland. Why do you think that's such a cool place? That did not happen by accident. There was a man, Walt Disney, with an incredible vision, and he kept pouring it into people until they got it. And he had the engineers, you know, they wanted to do other things. He's like, no, you don't get it. This is the vision. Now we go and we enjoy the benefits of it all the time without being the ones that actually had the vision or built it. So I am telling you again, because in a minute I'm going to talk about who are the builders of this house. I'm telling you that some of you know you are, because there's, in fact, the Lord showed me that earlier. There's this, in the Spirit, there's ones who just know it. You know that you know it. I'm supposed to be part of this. I'm supposed to build this. Others of you, you don't, and that's okay. You can still enjoy the benefits of the vision. Is this forever? You know, okay, I'm saying I want to help build this, so now am I locked in forever? Is that what covenant relationship is? No, it's not. There are seasons in life. There are times, I mean, we move geographically, but we also move just in what God has us doing. And so when I told you earlier that we're not controlling, that's exactly what I mean. When I can't, you know, when people have relationship with us, that's genuine, and there's this love that's shared. When they come to us, whether they're leaving, whether they're going to another part of the country or to another side of the block, it doesn't matter. As long as they've got God's heart and they're off doing what God calls them to do, that's the point. That's the kingdom. So if we helped that person in their journey and then we help launch them into the next thing you're doing, great. What is not the kingdom? I'm gonna hit some sore spots here. You ready? What's not the kingdom is all the cutting off of relationships that we keep seeing. And believe me, I've been part of them, so I'm not pointing that way. It's like I understand when the hurt and pain comes, and this whole thing of cutting off covenant relationships. These, I will just say this because I know a lot of the hurt for you has come right inside of the church. I know it. And I will tell you that these people that you hurt with that you don't want to talk to, guess what? You're going to be with them forever. Did you know that? That's a long time. We're going to be with the Lord forever. So covenant relationship says, remember this whole thing, I'm in it for your best, you're in it for mine. Okay, so something happens. There's pain. All right. It doesn't mean you have to be somebody's best friend. It doesn't mean you have to have all these connections of these deep relationships, even if someone's hurt you. What I'm saying is what's in it for their best, even if they won't respond to you, is to release them, to bless them, to forgive them. It not only releases you, but it releases them. That's a kingdom principle. And so you don't have to hang on to anything. And you don't have to cut off relationship, meaning I'm never talking to you again. I understand there are hurtful relationships that maybe are unhealthy where you aren't going to run back into that. But this whole thing of every time there's a little tension, people just cut and run. This is part of the new wine. And we talk a lot about revival. When revival hits, how exciting, you know? Well, we're in revival. We're in the beginning waves of revival for sure. Revival is God breathing re-life. Revive is relive. So he's breathing life back into his church. That's what he's doing. We've lost our first love. When revival happens, guess what happens when God shows up? You can't hang on to your old stuff. You can't. Not if you want him. So the relationships that you've just said, forget it, never... I'm telling you, one by one, he starts dealing with them. He's going to make you deal with them because he loves you, because he loves you. And so if nothing else on your end, I'm not saying you have to go to these people, especially if you've been, badly, badly wounded. But start here. Just start by saying, God, I choose to forgive them. I choose to release them. I release the offense. It is wearing me out. I don't want it anymore. And if you're not able to do that, then pray, God, make me willing to do that. See, take a step somewhere, because that's what revival is. He's breathing new life into us. All right, I got off on a tangent, but it was a good one. So I go back to the question, who are the builders of this house? Speaking of Walt Disney. Because we're going to whistle while we work. this is a joyful place. And we are having so much fun. However, and I've said this before, that if it's only about enjoying the Lord's presence, then let's go home. Let's go to heaven because, man, that's where we're going to have it. But it's enjoying the Lord's presence with a purpose of giving it away. And then we got to figure out what that is. How do we give that away, each one of us? I've now come to the part in the end where I told you this before 2 weeks ago that I would never have you guys, okay, everyone raise your hand, stand up, come on up, because there's no reason to do that. I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable because this is really, really something between you and the Lord. But I am saying we do want to know who feels that call to build with us. So we're going to actually hand something to you. In just a minute, I'm going to read it to you, what it is. But to every single one of you, even if there's several members of your family, we would like actually everyone to have one. We're going to hand out a piece of paper to you. And it is about asking those who want to build with us. I had a great conversation with Paul Manwaring today, who's up at Bethel. And he's really one of the ones that strongly led us into this whole thing of making sure we had a vision so that God is going to expand and expand on it and to find out who wants to be part of that. And when he was talking to me today, he said something that just had so much wisdom. I want to share it with you. He said, however you respond to this, it's probably not going to change at all. Okay, let me read it because it was good. All right, I don't have it here, but so let me try again because I started to lose what he said. What he was saying is that regardless of whether you choose to build into this vision or not, it probably is not going to look much different than what it looks like now for you. That's what he was saying. Because we're a church that's open anyway. You know, we're saying, hey, we want to bless you whether you're going to build this or not. So really, you will still have the same access you ever had to whatever we're doing. We want to equip everyone. You can still go to the school ministry. So there's no like, okay, what's the huge perk to do this? You know, there's no big carrot. Except what he was saying is what will change is that place in your heart. Something will change inside of you of how you're viewing this and that you're part of this. That's what will change. So let me just read it to you, what we're going to pass out to you. And it says, Brent and Suzanne, yes, I want to take part in fulfilling the vision of Blazing Fire Church and help build this house. I belong here and I choose to be in covenant relationship with you, with the leaders of Blazing Fire, and with the others of this family. I commit my time, my gifts, and my resources to fulfilling the vision of this house, and I am committed to fostering relationships of love, grace, and honor. Okay? Or, no thanks. I bless what you're doing and I want to come and enjoy God with you, but I do not feel that I am to help build the vision of Blazing Fire Church. Let me tell you why we put that up there. Because originally we didn't. Originally I just had the top one and we said, oh, well, okay, well, we'll just hear back from people. Some of you, you know, you'll know right now today one way or the other. Some of you won't know. Great, take it home with you. Pray. It's totally okay. There's not a timetable on it. You can give it to us whenever you want. But here's what's happened is that we've had various ones of you who have come to us and said, I want to be part of this. I want to build into this. And we remember a lot, but we don't remember all of you because it came in all these side conversations and there was nothing written down. And so I'm asking again, even if you've been here and you've told us this five times before, I am asking you to respond. If you want to help us build this vision, I do want to ask that you would respond. But then we thought, okay, but if we don't give you a chance to say no, and maybe it's someone who's been here for years, you've been here off and on for years, maybe you don't particularly feel called to build the vision, but you want to keep coming to enjoy, great, no problem at all. But we didn't want the awkwardness of us having to come to you and going, you know, you've been around here a long time and you didn't fill it out, did you forget? And we thought, you know what, we would rather give you the opportunity just to tell us right out. And I will tell you something, this is the honest truth, and you will only know it's true if you know me. We will not treat you differently however you check that box, because that's not going to determine what we feel about you. You know, you have value because you belong to God. That's where your value comes from. And we're not going to all of a sudden stop saying hi and stop whatever, you know, because if you say, you know, I don't want to build a vision, great. No problem. But we are asking that you would fill this out. If you want to tonight, you can leave it in this box that'll be up here. Or I'll put it over here on the piano. So later on, if you want to, you can put it in there tonight. If you don't want to, you can send it in. You can choose not to respond. That's okay. That's all right. Because we're not controlling you. But we do need to know this. And I do have this sense, and I can't put full words to this, except my sense is that because we're choosing to do this, it is a next step, a big step for us, a Blazing Fire. But because of that, it is going to leave room for that expansion that's coming. There's something really important about this that goes beyond what I understand. It's beyond in the natural. It's something in the supernatural. So go ahead and pass them out. And while they are doing that, I will just tell you we're wrapping things up here. In fact, you know what? Let me pray before you cut that. Let me just pray. So while they're passing it out, I'm going to pray for you, okay? It's okay. We could do two things at once. So, Father, I just want to thank you that you have included us. You've invited us in. We belong to you. And you've said we can be part of what you're doing across the earth. And I thank you, God, you have huge dreams for us, huge dreams that we can only accomplish with you. And I'm asking you, God, to just remind people of their dreams. I'm asking you, God, to give them hope where they feel that has diminished. And Lord, I thank you that there are certain ones who you have called to help us build this vision, to stoke the fire, to be this airport hub. There are certain ones that you've called to walk alongside of us, to run with us, to do this. And I thank you, God, for others that are just going to come and get blessed by it, whether or not they know there's a vision. They're just going to come and get blessed by it. So thank you, God, for just making that really clear. Holy Spirit, I just totally trust you to make things really clear to people. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's it for that. We're not going to have you come up and, turn it in or anything like that right now. You can do it later if you want. This is the time when I want to actually ask if those who are part of Lonnie Ellis' class on healing, if you would like to pray for people, come on up. You can fill out your thing later. If you're filling it out and you're part of that team.